So I'm excited to share the word tonight. It's always a privilege and an honor when Pastor Dave asks me to fill his pulpit. And so let's go ahead and jump right in. I don't have a super long, extensive message to share with you guys tonight, but really what I'd like to do is just encourage you guys with a very simple truth tonight. And a question I have for us tonight is, have you ever gotten so caught up in a problem or an issue, or just so caught up in the moment that you overlook or just forget to remember the simple things or like the obvious things? For example, I mean, this happens to me all the time. I've been there numerous times. I'm sure we all have. But for example, we had this lawnmower back in Missouri, and I just hated this thing. It was the bane of my life. If you ever had like a lawnmower or a weed eater that just will not cooperate with you, can I get a witness? This lawnmower was just, it was a hassle all the time. And I specifically remember this one time. I knew I needed to mow the lawn, and I headed out, and I'm like, I'm going to get this thing done. Hopefully the mower will cooperate with me. So I go out, and I pull the mower out of the garage, and I'm like, I got to do this thing. So I am trying to start this lawnmower, and it will not start. I'm like, are you kidding me? How many things can possibly go wrong with this mower? So I get so caught up and so frustrated. I'm yanking that little starter rope, you know? Like, I'm just like everything I've got in me. Like, I'm throwing up my back, yanking the starter thing and, you know, the choke. And I mean, everything that I can possibly think of to start this mower. And then I don't know how long I spent just getting frustrated trying to start this thing. I was so caught up. And, man, why can't I get this mower to start? And I looked down, and I had the little fuel shutoff valve set to off. Like, I'm like, are you kidding me? Like, just the simple, obvious thing. All I needed to do was turn that little knob to on, pull the rope, and boom, there it would start. And here I am, so caught up in why won't this mower, this horrible mower, start? And I get so wrapped up in my frustration that I forget to, like, it's so obvious why it's not working. All right, we just miss it sometimes. Another, for example, I have plenty of these stories to go around. I don't know why. Maybe it's just me. But have you ever? And I'm guessing there are some out here who can relate to me on this one. Have you ever gotten up in the morning? You're going about. You're in a rush. You're going about your morning stuff. You've got to get out the door. You grab a couple pieces of bread, you throw them in the toaster, boom, you pop them down, you're going doing your stuff, and like 5 minutes later, they're still in the toaster, and nothing's happening. Like, why isn't my bread ready? You know, you're like, what's wrong with this thing? And you look, and it's not plugged in. Like, the power cord's just like sitting there on the counter. I'm like, well, that would be a good explanation as to why my bread isn't cooking, because I'm so wrapped up in doing what I'm doing, I miss the obvious that if I stick the bread in the toaster and it's not plugged in, nothing's going to happen. You know, sometimes we get, as humans, it is so easy for us to get caught up in a moment, in a circumstance, in a flurry, and forget the simple things that should be so obvious to us. You know, sometimes we can get down on the Israelites. And we can kind of criticize the Israelites for their trip through the wilderness, you know. And we're familiar with the story of their grumblings and God providing. And then, you know, seemingly moments later, verses later, they're grumbling again. And we're like, come on, Israelites, really? You know, God just stepped down out of heaven and super blessed you. And then, you know, you turn around the corner and you're questioning him again. You know, and we can get down on them for that. But sometimes I wonder if I would have done any differently in their situation. You know, I get so frustrated and so caught up in my own stuff sometimes, and I'm like, man, if I was an Israelite and I had no, in my possession, what physically I could see with my eyes, I had no bread, I mean, no food, no water for the next day, I'd be pretty wrapped up in that circumstance. You know, I'd be starting to question. You know, and we ask the question, you know, with everything that God did for them, it should have been obvious that God was with them, right? God was there. God was going to provide. It should have been obvious to them, right? But in our lives, with everything God's done in us and around us, I can't count how many times I've seen God come through for me, for others. You know, we just heard stories this morning from Freedom House, incredible things that God has done in people's lives, transforming them, turning them around. You know, we know it should be obvious that God is with us, that God cares about us, right? And aside from the evidence, we also have the promise of God. In Matthew 28:20, following the Great Commission, Matthew 28:19, very well-known portion of Scripture, we often tack on Matthew 28:20 on the end of that, where God says, "Surely I am with you always, even to the very end of the age." You know, we tack that on to the Great Commission, and we kind of just rolls off our lips, and we fail sometimes to think about the implications that that has in our day-to-day life. This is God, Almighty God, saying, "Surely I am with you always." Not, "Hey, every now and then, I'll be there, you know. I'll show up here and then when I feel like it." "Surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." That simple truth, it's so profound, and yet so often we forget it. We get wrapped up in the day. We get wrapped up in the moment, in the frustration, in the problem we're having, the right now. That it just like that power cord, like plugging that into the wall. It's so obvious, but it slips our mind. You know, that I was, Jen and I were reminded of this this very week. We were, it was Tuesday. We were taking a trip to Springfield, Missouri. Jen's brother just moved from Springfield to Connecticut, and so we were going up. So he's 2 hours away. Let's go up and see him one last time before he moves way far away. And so we were going to do that. We hopped in the car. We took off. And of course it would happen that, you know, you can go forever and you never have car trouble. But as soon as you, like, get out of town and you're on a trip and you're in the middle of nowhere, you're going to have car trouble. And so we're driving and, you know, the check engine light comes on and the car starts sputtering. And I'm just like, oh, no. We were already, like, we just had the day. We were going up, turning around and coming back that night. We're like, man, we got to get up there. We got to see Jen's brother, Bobby, and get back. And I was just getting kind of frustrated. And so we stopped. We pulled over. I popped the hood. I'm checking fluids. You know, I have very little car experience. But when your car, like, breaks down, I don't care what your experience level is. When your car breaks down, you have trouble, you got to just pop the hood and look around. Like, I don't know what we're looking for. I don't know if I'm looking for, like, a fire somewhere or, like, this big, almost like the lawnmower, if there's this big, like, on-off switch set to off, like, I got this. Like, fixed, yes. Unless you're Larry Banzit, then you're like, then there's purpose behind popping the hood. But for me, there's no purpose behind popping the hood other than, like, hey, here's my engine, sweet. But anyway, so I pop the hood, and I'm looking around. And I don't know what I'm doing. And so then I close the hood, and I'm like, well, let's try driving a little farther. So we try driving a little farther. And, of course, the engine light's, like, blaring at me, like, dude, no. Like, this isn't going to fly. And the car's sputtering. And so we ended up limping into Joplin, and we're just frustrated. I'm just like, man, really, like, of all times, like, why now? Like, you know, why couldn't this have happened when we had time, when we were in Claremore? Like, why couldn't this happen? And I'm just like, man, really, God? Like, why? Why now? Like, of all times. And so I'm calling all these places in Joplin, and I'm just like, hey, man, we're kind of coming into town right now. Is there any way you could fit me in to take a look at this car? Like, no. Like, no way. We are swamped. There's no way we can fit you in. And we called several places. Finally called this one place, and they're like, hey, if you bring it in, we'll test it. I can tell you what's wrong with it. But I'm probably not going to be able to fix it. I'm like, our schedule is so booked. Best I can do is tell you what's wrong with it. So I'm like, oh, okay, at least I'll know that. And so we pull into this place, and they were actually out to lunch, so we're just sitting there waiting and just stewing in our frustration, and I'm so caught up in this just like, man, this is so irritating. Why of all times would this happen now? And, you know, looking back on it, it seems so trivial. But in the moment, I just got so wrapped up in this issue and so frustrated. And then they come back from lunch, and we pull into their garage, and we get out of the car. And, of course, they've got the radio on, and Your Grace Is Enough is playing on the radio. Your Grace Is Enough. And I'm just like, I get it, you know, and I look over on the wall, and there's a sign that says, there's nothing you will face today that you and God cannot handle together. And I'm just like, I get it, you know. And I'm just like, thank you, God, for the reminder that I'm just so wrapped up in my own stuff that I forget the obvious. Like, of course, God knows where I'm at. God sees me. He's not blind to my frustration and the, you know, as trivial as it seems to me, it is no less of a reason for God to be there. You know, when God says, surely I am with you always, it means, hey, I'm with you. Even when you're going through car issues in the middle of Nowheresville, Missouri, like, hey, I'm with you. And so we had that reminder, and why do we do that? How do we get so wrapped up in our stuff that we forget the simple truths, the profound truths of Scripture, the promises of God? It should be so obvious to us. All the times that God has come through for me, you know, I wish I could say that, man, I was like a champion of the faith, and I was like, you know, no worries, God's going to come through, like, we're going to be good, you know, but I was frustrated. And the sad reality is the fact that we're human, it's sad but true, we take our eyes off of God too easily. We take our eyes off of God too easily when things come our way. The good news is that it's a good thing that God isn't human. Sometimes we project our own weaknesses, our own insecurities onto God as if he's one of us, you know. We project this, you know, hey, if I have bad days, if I have off days, surely God does too. If I hold grudges, surely God does too. If I forget about things, surely God does too. But God doesn't do that. God doesn't hold grudges. God doesn't forget about us. God doesn't give up on us. 2 Timothy says, if we are faithless, he remains faithful because he can't deny himself. He is who he is. No matter what, how we act, no matter who we are, if we are faithless, God is still faithful. One of the coolest verses in Scripture, if you ask me, is Isaiah 55:8-9. God's ways are not our ways, neither are his thoughts our thoughts. Aren't you thankful for that? Like, I'm just like, I love that. I'm so thankful that God's ways are not my ways. Because if God's ways were my ways, this world would be messed up. I'm sorry to say. Like, if God's thoughts were my thoughts, we'd be in trouble. But I love this passage of Scripture. It says, as high as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. God doesn't operate the way we do. God doesn't operate the way we do. He is faithful. There's a passage of Scripture that I want to read, and the question we have to ask ourselves as we go through our day-to-day life, we have stuff weighing on our hearts and minds, the question we have to ask ourselves is this: are we listening to the promises of God? Are we listening to the voice of God? Numbers 23. If you want to turn there with me, feel free. But Numbers 23, verses 19 and 20. I have this passage of Scripture marked in my Bible because when I have these times of forgetting the promises of God, I like to think of the Scripture and I like to look it up. Numbers 23, 19 and 20. This is Balaam talking to Balak, and he says, God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should change his mind. Does he speak and then not act? Does he promise and not fulfill? I have received a command to bless. He has blessed, and I cannot change it. Here's the deal in my mind when I read this passage. We make promises, and we break promises. We're human. But he asked the question, does God say something and then not come through? Does he promise it and then back off from it? That is not our God. That is not our God. Our God is faithful. And so the question is, are we listening to the promises of God? Are we attentive to his voice? Because when we're presented with a circumstance, when something comes up in life, we're presented with a couple options. A, We can get caught up in the moment. We can get caught up in the problem, in the circumstance, like that, like me and that ridiculous mower. Like, I'm so frustrated. I'm so caught up in this thing when the solution is right there. You know, it should be obvious. We can get caught up in the moment, or we can recall to our memory the often taken for granted truth of God's promises, like his promise that he is always with us. Always with us. That is a promise in Scripture that is echoed in passages like John 10:27, where Jesus says, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them. They follow me. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hands." He's talking about us there. He says, "My Father is greater than all, and no one can snatch these sheep from out of my Father's hands." Passages like Romans 8:31, "If God is for us, who can be against us? Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God, interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ?" This is that same theme. Psalm 73:26, "My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever." These are the promises in Scripture that we can hold on to, knowing God is with us. He's promised to be with us. He has told us over and over again, there's nothing that can separate you. There's nothing that can snatch you out of my hand. I've got you. Right? So in closing tonight, I'm reminded of the story of Elijah. Elijah hiding out at Mount Horeb, thinking everything in his life is just imploding, collapsing down on top of him. Here's Elijah, who is running for his life, thinking, it's over. Queen Jezebel is coming to take my life. I am the only faithful one left in Israel, and my time is done, and it's just, I'm done. I'm gone. Here he is. And as he's there at Mount Horeb, many of us know the story. A mighty wind came, and the Bible goes so far as to say it shattered rocks, smashed rocks around where he was. That's a pretty solid wind. I mean, to take rocks from this mountain where Elijah was at and just smash them to pieces. This mighty wind came, an earthquake came, then a fire, and finally, the still small voice that asked, "What are you doing here, Elijah? What are you doing here?" You know, you might have some wind, some earthquakes, some fire going on in your life. I don't know all the circumstances. But here's the bottom line. If you don't hear anything else tonight, hear this. If it's not the voice of God, then it's just noise. If it's not the voice of God, then it's just noise. You know, and all the fire, the wind, the earthquakes, everything that's blowing and exploding around us, you know, it shouts for our attention, and it wants to wrap us up in this moment, this frustration, this circumstance. You know, it wants us to put all of our focus and attention on it, but it also tends to take our mind off of the solution, which is right there. It should be obvious. And if we're listening, if we're truly listening, we'll hear the still small voice of God. In the midst of all of that, "What are you doing here, Elijah? You should know, I'm with you. I'm with you." Let's not take our eyes off of God too quickly. You know, whatever it is that is weighing on your heart and your mind, let's not take our eyes off of God too quickly. It's tempting. It's tempting to do that. But rather tonight, be encouraged. Be encouraged, because God sees you where you're at. And not only does he see you, he takes it a step farther than that, and he's with you right there where you're at. And how do I know that, you ask? How do you know? You don't know my circumstance. Well, I know that God is with you because he promised it. It's right here. He promised it. And I'll ask the same question that Balaam did. Does God promise and not fulfill? That is not our God. Our God is faithful. So guys, tonight, maybe you've got some wind, some earthquake, some fire. Bill, can I invite you to come up to the keys? Just give us a little bit of background music. I just would like to close tonight just with a few moments of prayer. You know, maybe you've got some things in your life that are shouting for your attention, and it is noise that's just blaring in your ear, and it wants to wrap you up, and it wants to steal your focus, and it wants all your attention to be wrapped in this one thing. When God is speaking in the still small voice, saying, I'm with you. And maybe you need to be reminded of that. Maybe we need to take some of that stuff, some of those circumstances, some of those issues that are really weighing on our hearts and minds. Maybe we need to come and we need to leave them at the altar tonight. So as Bill begins to play, I would just like to invite you. These altars are open. Let's spend just a few moments reminding ourselves, allowing God to remind us that he's with us, and leaving some of those things at the altar and keeping our focus, keeping our eyes where they belong, and that's on God. Let's take a few moments at this time. These altars are open.